Luke chapter 22. Now we're going to start with the seventh verse. We did not be able to finish what I was hoping to this morning. We did the Judas and all the verses of Scripture concerning his fatal decision and then the result of that decision. And I wanted to do the same as Peter as he denied the Lord, but time didn't allow us to do that. And so we may be doing finish that up Wednesday night, possibly. And so the daylight is becoming longer for us. And so if you come, why, we'll enjoy that time of fellowship. Luke chapter 22, beginning to read with verse 7. It said, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. He sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat.' And they said unto him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare?' And he said to them, 'Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters in. And he shall say unto the good man of the house, ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished there, make ready.' And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, 'With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and said, 'Take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.' And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed.' And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing." Bibles, please, and turn back to Luke 22, and we're going to begin reading with verse 39. Luke 22:39. And this time we're going to read to the end of the chapter. Luke 22:39. "And he came out and went as was wont to the Mount of Olives. His disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, 'Pray that ye enter not into temptation.' And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.' And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were drops, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, 'Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas was one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. And Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, and ye stretched forth no hand against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And a little while another saw him, and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about this space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crow. The Lord turned and looked unto Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, ye shall not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye shall say that I am. And he said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. Take your Bibles once again and turn with me to chapter 23, Luke chapter 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirred up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. And when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged into Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was in Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracles done by him. You'll notice Herod was not interested in salvation. He was interested in only the miracles that he might see. Verse 9. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught, mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they had enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me, as once that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity I must release one unto them at the feast. You see, Pilate desired to release the Lord Jesus, found no fault in him. But if you'll notice, each time they would beat him, chastise him, then they would let him go. For his necessity, verse 17, he must release one unto them at the feast. Remember, this is the Passover. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who of a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I find no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them of the chief priests prevailed. Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And they followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which that they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs of that never bear and the paps that never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us. To the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactor, one on the right, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted his raiment and cast lots. The people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. The superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin, Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Doth not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And when the sun was darkened, and the veil in the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, saying, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having thus said, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, This was a righteous man. Not the Son of God, but just a righteous man, a good man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. We're going to end the reading with verse 49. And now we are going to go to Psalms. Before that, let's go to Isaiah. We're going to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. And as soon as you find your place, we're going to begin with prayer. Go to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. Now let's ask the Lord to direct us. Father, thank you for the precious reading today. Thank you that we can come and just read so slowly and so carefully that precious message that you have laid upon Luke's heart to record for us. It's always a joy to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Today we've chosen just to read in Luke. But now we have heard in Dr. Luke. Luke was a doctor. We're going to go back into Isaiah and Psalms and get just a little more of a picture of what really happened upon the cross. So please, will you guide and lead us today? Show us the very cost of sin. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. We have to go to the Old Testament to really get a full description of what happened to Jesus on the cross. I've mentioned to you many times that you see some folks have the crucifix and some folks have a picture of the Lord Jesus, and you see a little drop of blood from his hands and from his feet. Well, I hope that this opens your eyes and your heart to the cost of sin. Isaiah 50, verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting. Now go to Isaiah 52:14. Isaiah 52:14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. Now I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 11 of Isaiah 53. It says, Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, as he shall bear their iniquities. Now, turn with me to Psalms chapter 22. All this was the introduction. Now we're ready for the message. Psalms 22. You know, as we read at the very beginning there in Luke 22, verses 8 through 23, or 7 through 23, you'll notice that he sent two out to go to prepare for the Passover, and found the man, found the place. And then, if you back up to, and don't turn there, but if you back up to Luke chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, he said, go find the colt. You'll find him tied up, and tell him, I have need of that colt. And it, to me, that shows us that the Lord is always in control. Always in control, even all the way to the cross. All the way. So, now we find here in Psalms, we have read from Isaiah 50, verse 6, Isaiah 52, verse 14, and Isaiah 53, 1 through 11, and to bring this to a close here for us to understand, because Psalms 22 gives us one of the best descriptions of Calvary and Jesus dying on the cross. Verse 1, Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? As you read the four Gospels, you find those words are proclaimed from Jesus himself, calling unto the Father. Because, you see, not only did he carry our sin to the cross and have the burden of that, not only did he have the pain and the agony of the physical death, but worse than all that is, there was a period of time when he had to be separated from his Father. Because when he took on our sin, him and his Father had to be separated. And that's those words. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's so important that we recognize in our life the need to be together and to be with our God each and every day. So important. Come down now with me to verse 6. I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. Now when we look at this, I am not worthy to be called a man. And that is the position that our Lord and our Savior took. He took the place of a worm. A worm is one that is belly on the ground, is so low and easily to be smashed, to be done away with, and at the same time, this worm, it is said, was used for the purpose of dyeing a scarlet or purple cloths. So you see, every time when you look at the scripture verse, not only does the word worm stand for the lowest they can be, and that's the position that the Lord Jesus took for us. And that is the position that we're in. That's who we are without the Lord Jesus Christ. We are nothing. We are of no value. A man today thinks they've accomplished so much. And all the things that we've been hearing on the news with the intelligence that is being developed, and no longer there'll be, 75, 80 million people will lose their jobs because the intelligence of man that have developed into these computers can carry out anything that they can think, they can do everything. And I hope that you realize that this technology was brought to light prior to the flood of Noah. There is nothing new under the sun. And folks don't realize the great advancements of technology that was present before the flood. But what did that accomplish? That accomplished that not one single individual, except for Noah, his wife, and their three sons and their wives, were the only that believed in God and held to the righteousness of God that was left on the earth out of the millions of people that lived here. And the advancement of technology that is run, it's believed that we have long been on the moon. We have been in outer space. There is nothing that we have accomplished because the advancements of man at that time were so advanced. But the only thing it brought was wickedness, and God had to destroy it. So don't think for a minute, don't be afraid of it, because our Lord's going to come and get us and take us home before this ever takes place. Because He's going to have to do the same thing to this world that He did in Noah's day. It's not going to be any different at all. But as we look at this, and the problem is that people are so high-minded, people are so prideful, people are so arrogant. But it says, I'm a worm and no man. That's exactly the position that each and every one of us are in prior to coming to Jesus as our Savior. But people don't acknowledge that. They think that they're of some great importance. And again, isn't it something how that to be the scarlet, the purple, the royalty, and the precious blood is what that worm stands for, because that's what he did. A reproach of men. A reproach. They looked upon the Lord Jesus as something of the lowest level, a worm. They also looked upon him as being a blasphemer, an evil man, a drunken, a false prophet. That's who they saw as the Lord Jesus. They even called him the Prince of the Devil, the Son of God. Despised is the next word there. And despised of the people. Not worthy of notice. He was not in the Sanhedrin. He was not a priest. He was not a king. He was a lowly carpenter's son. And that's, they looked upon him with their spit. That's what they felt of the Lord Jesus. That's what they saw. Verse 7. And all that see me laugh me to scorn. They shot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. They not only had no pity when Jesus was hanging on the cross, dying. And as we have mentioned in the past, there's a reason why the guards came through and broke the legs of the two criminals on each side, because it was getting close to the evening, and that was a special day, and they could not move into that night. Again, the Jewish day starts at nightfall, goes to the next nightfall. That's a Jewish day, different than we look at it. And so they had to get these men dead and off the cross before nightfall, because it was a super Sabbath. It was a special Sabbath day. So they come by and they broke the legs of the first. They come to Jesus, and the scripture tells us there wouldn't be one broken bone. He had already died. So they went to the second one, broke his legs. Why did they do that? It's because as you hang on that cross with your hands nailed to the cross, your feet nailed to the cross, there's only one way that you can breathe, and that is to lift up on your feet to get a breath of air. Otherwise, you suffer. And think of the pain. There's a nail through your feet, your hands, the agony that you're going through to lift them up. But the scripture tells us here that for the Lord Jesus, and even for the criminals, there was no pity. They just looked at him, they laughed, there was joking going on. There was a party going on, basically, as they stood there and watched the Son of God die. You want to know the evil heart of man? We have to see it here as we look upon the cross of Calvary. They shot out their lip. They laughed at me to scorn. They made fun. Then they said, if you be the Christ, just come on down. Jesus could have, but not to fulfill the will of his Father. And that's what he was here to do. Look at verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. Now, you may wonder what that is talking about. It is talking about the boldness, the haughtiness of the chief priests and the elders. And if we come down to verse 16, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. It's the only place that it tells us that. They pierced my hands and my feet. And so you see that not only were the common people there. But also the leadership was there. And they were coming with such boldness and again such evil hearts as they had. Come down to verse 13. They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and a roaring lion. So we find that their look to them was a look of evil, a look of desire that we've done all we can do. It's almost like they desired to get their whips out and whip him as he was dying on the cross. They just couldn't do enough to make him suffer. And as we talked about, when you look back to see the beatings, and they would give them 39 lashes because the 40th time it killed them. And they were so talented at what they did in giving this evil whipping. And there were clay pottery on the end. And so every time that whip would come and it would hit your, and it would rip out the flesh each time. They would do that 39 times because 40 times would kill him. Jesus was whipped 39 times. He was whipped 39 times. So it was almost like they just wanted to do more. Now, look at verse 14. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of the earth. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me. Now that Psalms 22 is the only one that gives us such a description. Now we're back in Isaiah 50 verse 6. And those scriptures begin to talk about it. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But those verses of scripture, I poured out like water, verse 14. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a pottage. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of earth, of death. For dogs have compassed me and assembled the wicked, have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me. He's ripped apart. You wonder why Simon of Cyrene was asked to carry his cross? Jesus couldn't begin to carry that cross. He had been so brutally beaten. And yet they stood there and stared at him with joy. With joy. The evil world. And again, verse 18. They parted my garments among them and cast lots to my vesture. I wanted to read back in Luke so we could come to the cross, come to the place where he voluntarily gave up the ghost. Each and every individual, there's a day to be born and there's a day to die. Now, we have a lot of choices between those two times, but there is no choice in when or where you were born. And there is no choice in when you die. Jesus came to earth to die. We've come to live. We haven't come to die. We will die. But we haven't come to die. Jesus came to die. That's his purpose. And he knew it. He knew what he was facing. All there was ripped, torn flesh hanging upon that cross. And they found joy in that. That's the wickedness of the world. The wickedness of the world. At verse 14 and 15, as he was dying, he literally emptied all of the flesh, all of the human nature out. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfect life. He committed no sin. And yet, here's what we find him dying for you and for me. You want to know the cost of sin? You've just seen a picture of it. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the time and for the day. I ask, Father, that you just help us to see how evil sin is. What the cost was, Father, to your Son. To you, Father. Thank you for the great love that you've shown to buy us and purchase us back. Help us, Father, to take that news out to this lost and dying world, because they're going to spend eternity in hell, the lake of fire, for eternity. One of the malefactors said, "We deserve this." And he trusted in the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "I'll see you in paradise this very day." The other is in hell, the fires of hell. Father, please, just awaken us. Stir our hearts. Bring us to Jesus if we don't know him as our Savior. And then, Father, help us to live the life that's pleasing to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.